All right, and welcome back to those of you joining us. We have a very special episode today. We are joined on our podcast here, E-commerce AI, with Ari and Mercer, who's the co-founder of measurementsmarketing.io. So I'm going to go ahead and hand this over to you guys to jump right into it.
Thanks, Victoria. Mercer, great to see you again.
Great to see you as well. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks. You know, last time we were speaking, we were talking about integration of AI with measurements and helping to avoid having tools dictate strategy. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening in technology in that regard and some of the trends that you're seeing?
Yeah, kind of what's not happening. There's so much going on. And that's part of the challenge, right? Is there's so many different little things happening seemingly all at the same time that it's hard to sort of keep your head on straight around where you should be using AI when it comes to your data, where you shouldn't be using AI where it comes to your data. And I think generally speaking, here's what's happening. We see all the like ChatGPTs, they have the little AI assistants. And there's some things that say like, oh, we're going to, you know, we can connect to your Google Analytics and then tell you what's going on. And that's all well and good. There's some stuff with some platforms that are directly integrating AI platforms like ChatGPT. We can talk about those a little bit later. And there's a growing trend with Google in particular, where they're connecting like Gemini, which is kind of their platform, into things like BigQuery, where the database is, so that now Gemini can go in there and start tweaking your data and playing around with it. And I think right now, we were talking about strategy versus tools. All of those are tools, which are great, but the strategy isn't quite in place yet when it comes to data for most organizations, meaning it's kind of garbage in, garbage out, you know, for those that are used to that old programming or coder's term. And there's a lot of data that's been collected without any sort of real purpose. It was just kind of like big data. We'll try to sweep it up and collect it when we can. We might ask questions around it, so we're going to collect it anyway, just in case. And now people are just sort of sprinkling AI on this, hoping that it's magically going to organize it in the right way and connect all the dots for them. And I don't think that's going to be the case for a while. So I think that's kind of what's going on right now, is everyone's kind of trying some stuff. There's nothing that's really landed usefully, maybe with one exception of a platform I think is doing some cool stuff. And then the big learning for everybody is, wow, we've really got to collect the data for a specific purpose, even if that purpose is we're going to use AI to help Greg gain insights and actions from it, which is perfectly fine, but it's got to be collected for that. And I think that's kind of the strategy that's missing in most organizations right now.
On the technical side, I think that miss is being recognized. If you look at retrieval augmented generation, that's all about taking a general system has been trained and restricting it to a particular domain. But that's you know, kind of the hardcore behind the scenes technical aspect. Businesses themselves, I think, because they see ChatGPT produce, you know, great text, even if it's a hallucination, it's said with confidence and looks correct, that they assume that AI by itself is going to be able to solve their problems. And they don't recognize that garbage in, garbage out, hallucination, whatever you want to call it nowadays, is hard to detect. And if you just assume that you're going to get the right answer, regardless of how well you tune the input, you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think it goes back to that strategy versus tools conversation, is there's a lot more planning that needs to happen in an organization around anything they're trying to automate, especially when it comes to AI. And if they're not spending that time to say, okay, what exactly is our process for this data? And then it's, okay, instead of a human doing this, how do we get, now that we've really defined this process, how can we get an AI bot or chat assistant or something like that to do this exact process? Like, that makes sense. But what's happening right now is there's a lot of automations that are just sort of showing up that are randomly doing these processes that are not really thought through or determined. And that's what's creating a lot of the confusion that is out there. But to your point, it doesn't look like confusion. It's like, oh, here's your answer, because it says it with confidence, even though it's not at all useful. Maybe it doesn't actually lead to an action. At best, it's interesting in some cases, you know?
And sometimes it's just crazy talk, but you can't tell because it is said with such confidence. It's like 5 plus 5 is 26. And you know, if it's a more complex equation than that, you end up walking away thinking 26.
Yeah. And if you don't know basic math, you would never know that's wrong. You would just take it as correct, right? So if you don't know basic measurement, if you don't know what your numbers are probably supposed to be, you won't know if the data that it's saying, you know, in its confident chart that it spits out to you, if it's even useful.
That is super interesting.
That's the trick.
That is super interesting, right? So you, if on day one you're starting with some AI system that's going to do some sophisticated measurement for you, and you've never done the basic measurement beforehand with, you know, traditional tools and techniques, you have no baseline for recognizing whether you're just getting crazy numbers or not.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you ask me to bake a cake and I give you kind of like a bunch of dirt mixed with water, but you have no idea what a cake is, mm-hmm. you're going to take it and be like, well, this cake is horrible, right. but I guess.
Or you hand me a coffee cup full of water and you say that, oh, yeah, you know, here's a cup of water for the recipe, but I don't have a measuring cup. I have no idea how big this thing is.
Then I'm like, that's exactly right. And that's where a lot of this goes wrong. Exactly right. Because it requires a little bit of thought. Like there's a little bit of effort. Not much, to be honest. I just think it requires conversation and people are uncomfortable with not knowing the answer. And there's a lot of not knowing the answer in this sort of world right now, because we're on the cut, almost every day we're on the cutting edge of this. Even if you're not keeping up with it, it changes so fast that every day it's new for everyone. No one really knows what to do mm-hmm. or how to use it properly. So we're all just doing our best. And I think part of the challenge is just being willing to be wrong and say, well, here's how we think it's going to be useful. Let's see if it is, you know, and if it's not, then great, we'll try mm-hmm. something else. And just don't be afraid of being wrong with this stuff. Don't be afraid of building a plan where it didn't quite work out this way, the way mm-hmm. you thought it was going to, because it probably won't for a very long time, you know, until everybody, and then eventually we'll all start sharing our little, like, hey, I figured this one piece out, and maybe you figure a piece out. And now we can be like, we got two pieces of the puzzle now. And that's sort of how this whole thing will grow. That's what has happened. Every time there's a new revolution of anything, that same sort of pattern occurs. Just this one's going to happen faster because there's so many more people involved in it, and it does just change really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the more complex areas to tune, and it requires continual tuning, is, in the old days, we called it, you know, human-machine interface, UX, but you end up having to, if you want to even just tune the position of a button on a web page, for example, you may have A/B testing, you might have some heuristics as to the size or color, best colors for that, but you really need to test it out. And this seems like one area that AI could be very helpful. It can give you great advice. It's looked at thousands or millions of web pages and it knows which ones clicks through, and it might suggest where that button should be placed. For instance, in that domain, for example, are there any tools that you've seen that that work both on the basic side and on the AI side?
So there used to be one that was more predictive, as in you can sort of upload a screenshot of your homepage or the lander that you were using, and it would sort of predict a heat map of here's more likely where the eyes are going to go, that sort of stuff. That stuff's actually been around for a long, long time. And I think those sort of tools could provide some usefulness, right? Where it's like, hey, here's a mobile design. We think that the button should be at least X percentage of the screen. Therefore, that's how the AI would know it's more thumb friendly versus something you've got to zoom in to click on or something like that. I could see that sort of tool being particularly useful. Mm. I haven't seen one yet that is doing that, but mm-hmm. I think that's I could see that as a feature coming out. I could see that.
I can envision.
You're right. It's all patterns, right? It's like, it's not that hard. And as humans, we're just patterns.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, if we can learn what the humans are doing and how the humans interact with this, then therefore the AI can start predicting, well, if here's how most of the humans interact with this successfully, here's how they should also interact with it successfully next week. And then it can predict a lot of those design changes. I could absolutely see that.
Right. Yeah. In the same way that you could go to DALL-E today and say, I'd like a picture of a child skipping a rock across the store, something like that. I would like a web page with a button that is frequently clicked to download a report. And, you know, and to start drawing a picture of that, that could be.
And that stuff does exist to some extent where it's doing some of that. But and you're going to see them like in Figma and Canva, you know, that's where a lot of that, I think, will pop its head out. But it's the predictive thing of like, here's what my current design is. How will humans interact with it? Like that I could see as a great tool for AI to say, well, based on what I know about how humans, go through pages, here's what's going to happen. And then it sort of predicts that heat map or where the attention's going to be on the page. That I think could be really useful because now you can iterate before you push it live.
Right.
Say,
okay, right.
Based on the AI is now saying, well, 90% chance that, you know, this many people will stick around at least 10 seconds and start to scroll down. It's like, okay, well, now that I know that, let's go push it out live and then see now. So you end up doing a lot of the testing with an AI bot that's been trained, right, for your users. And then eventually you push it live to see, was it right? Because you obviously could be hallucinating, right, to your point earlier.
It's completely analogous to how a large language model is statistically predicting the next word. A large language model can statistically predict the next mouse click and come up with, from a generative perspective, the most likely place to get clicked and place a button there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, from a measurement perspective, what tools are you impressed with?
So I'm looking at Gemini pretty heavily because they are so integrated in Google's data set. And I think from an AI perspective, that entity that has access to the most expansive and up-to-date data set is just going to win AI. Because it needs that, you know, the more data that it has and the more recent that data is, the more useful it's going to be. Therefore, the model is going to end up working better, regardless of what the model is. It'll work better, I think. So I'm looking at Gemini for that. And they're doing some interesting stuff with BigQuery right now and all of that. Eventually, they'll get into doing it with Google Analytics 4, I'm sure. It's not there yet, but I can see some of that. Hmm. But the other company is one of people are familiar with, which is, you know, ChatGPT is owned primarily by Microsoft, you know, big partner there. So Microsoft took ChatGPT and they've integrated it into their analytics platform, which not a lot of people know about, which is a shame because it's a really good platform. It's called Clarity. So anybody can go to it. Just go to clarity.microsoft.com and you'll see it. But it's basically it's a simple setup. You just put the code on your page, however you want to do that. Get the code on the page, and then it starts automatically recording heat maps, screen recordings, the scroll maps, right? Your click maps, all that sort of stuff. It just sort of automatically does for all the pages that it's a part of. It doesn't do any sampling or anything like that. So and it's qualitative. So there's not a whole lot of data tables that you're looking at. In other words, you're able to see pictures, the quantitative stuff. Now, what's cool about it that they're doing is they're taking ChatGPT and they're saying, okay, well, we've seen 300 different users go over this page, so we know kind of what the heat map's looking like. Would you like ChatGPT to describe this? You know, what the story is of this? Or screen recordings, which is what I really love, is you could say, well, take the top 10 screen recordings that of people who converted, or take the top 10 of screen recordings of people who did not convert, and then tell me the story of what's going on based on what you see in those recordings. And so it's sort of trying to interpret versus what you used to have to do last year. And again, we're not even that far away from this. You had to, a year ago, right? You would have to watch all the recordings and then sort of take your own insights and sort of write those down and then compile those. And it used to be like very human work, you know? Now it's just click a button and it says, well, based on the top 10 recordings in this particular segment you're looking at, here's what's going on. Now that doesn't necessarily tell you here's how to fix it. But I think even that stuff will come into play. It's like, you might want to consider doing this. And it seems like they're frustrating. They're clicking on the button a bunch of times. Maybe that's because the button link is broken. You might want to check that. Like I could see things like that coming out more and more from this.
Or the button is below the fold and people are on a smaller screen than you. Your layout supports.
And it'll tell you that. It'll say, hey, everyone's shrinking it down. Like this is, they're primarily on mobile. So you might want to consider that. Like it's pretty cool that way. And definitely worth looking at. And I think so Microsoft doing great job already with Clarity with AI integrated. Google is kind of a come from behind, but I think they'll end up being the winner take all. I think both will have a place. But
Google because they have more data?
More data and more up-to-date data. Like they literally know what's in our email right now.
Yeah.
You know? So that's the kind of thing where it goes, oh, hey, such and such just emailed you. I remember you saying in this other platform that you were waiting on that email. So I've set up a calendar invite and blocked time on your calendar so you can take care of it. It's already assigned to you in ClickUp. Like I could absolutely, now that's not today for sure, but over the next couple of years, that's all there.
And even in terms of website data, like what Clarity, like Microsoft Clarity, everybody has Google Analytics tags on their website. No one really knows exactly what those things do. So it could be grabbing all that data and feeding it into an LLM.
Absolutely right. That's absolutely right. So we've got, you know, the Google tag is feeding all the Google Ads stuff that's out there, right? Facebook obviously is doing the same thing with their model. I just don't think they have as enough data, you know, maybe through Instagram, things like that. I think they'll be a strong competitor, but not anything just Google seems heads and above. It's you know, pretty much everybody uses Gmail or some equivalent workspace email, Google Calendar, right? All of Google Max, like all the stuff that it knows about us is going to make the AI more useful because the AI know more about us. It's a more useful assistant, you know, some more relevant information. That's why I think it's kind of going to be a come from behind. I think they're going really slow because they've made some serious missteps. And it hurts their brand, you know, whereas ChatGPT could make a bunch of missteps. It wouldn't matter because nobody knew what ChatGPT was. So they could rapidly improve. But for Google, they already have a high bar. So they, I think that's why they're kind of ramping things out slowly. And I hope they make it. Like, there's no guarantees they will. I could be totally wrong on that. But that's kind of where I'm seeing it. Or at least I'm looking in that direction going, you know, this would be really interesting if they can unlock that piece.
Right, right, right. Boy, we bought a company called WooRank a few years ago, and it's got a high traffic website. I'm like dying to throw Microsoft Clarity in there and get some insights.
Yeah. Yeah, you really should. It's pretty fascinating because Clarity does a decent job. They've done it because they're basically just doing a chat assistant, right, that they've created, that Clarity team. And that chat assistant is trained on this specific data input that Clarity's recording. So they've really tuned that AI assistant to be able to spell out a story because it knows it's looking at screen recordings and it knows how to explain it and it knows what the users are trying to do. So it's like a pretty cool thing. It's absolutely worth playing for. There's nobody that should be listening or watching this right now that shouldn't at least explore Microsoft Clarity for that reason alone, because it is the fastest way to get real AI, that real AI experience versus a platform like Google Analytics 4, which has machine learning and does have AI integrated, but it's not quite at that. It's not what you would think about AI. And it goes back to your point about the user interface, right? That user experience. Clarity is going to have a much easier, much more normal user interface than a platform like GA4 ever will.
Yeah. So now when we're analyzing data coming out of a system like Clarity, I guess us old school guys that like to just have a bunch of stuff in Excel and to create trends and reports and so forth, that goes away, or maybe it simplifies significantly. What are you looking at?
Yeah. I mean, it depends what result you're trying to get from that, right? In other words, what action are we trying to take from that data? If you need the spreadsheet still to get to the action step, then the spreadsheet still stays around. But if you can just go to ChatGPT and have it say, okay, well, here's what's going on, and you know the data set, you know it's good data, and it's getting you to the action, you go, cool, now that I know about what ChatGPT told me, I can now get to the action, then it would replace the spreadsheet. So, you know, I'm a big believer, like, you don't do the same actions or activities, sorry, the same activities, right? Just because we did it yesterday doesn't mean we have to do it again today. It's we're trying to get the result from yesterday and be open to a new way of getting that result today. Especially when it comes to AI, because even the AI stuff that you did yesterday, it may not be the best way to get that same AI result today. There might be a better prompt or a different prompt, you know, that's going on. It's just prompting for a second. Just that's changed a lot. Remember when it used to be prompt engineering was all the rage, and it was like, oh, let's go prompt engineering certifications. It's going to be the new job title, which lasted for like 3 months. And now it's kind of like nobody talks about prompt engineering as much because that's not the thing. They're prompting themselves. They're learning how to engineer themselves. And because they know that like English is the new Python, English is the new JavaScript, English is the new code that everybody has to learn and everybody already knows it. So what they're trying to do is have AI get caught up to where we are in English. And so we can just chat with it the way we want to. And then it will try to reinterpret over and over again what we actually mean, which is exactly how humans work. And that's what it's going to say. Okay, well, here's what you asked for, but here's really what you want. Now I'm going to give you this. You know, and you can see this in prompting now. Like if you do a prompt, whatever it is, a lot of times it'll give you the result. You can then say, hey, could you tell me the prompt you use verbatim? And it will not, in many cases, be the same exact thing you typed in. It will tell you the interpretation that it did. And that's sometimes where you can see like, oh, okay, that's why it got different results, because it interpreted differently than what I intended. And so you actually can learn to speak with it a little better doing that. But it's fascinating, some of that stuff that's happening.
Yeah. Well, you know, in call it 2000, humans adjusted their behavior to work with Google and simple site search and so forth. And we became good at just entering a couple of nouns and adjectives to find what we wanted, right? Now we can become more expressive and have more natural language and expect the system to understand that prompt, so to speak, and be able to...
And context, right? The context of like, you know, what was the date that this happened? And okay, where was that place? And it knows, oh, the place means the date, and it hooks these things together. And that was years ago that Google figured that out with search. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely in Gemini somewhere. It has to be.
Yeah. Well, the context also includes who you're interacting with. So which gets in the face a little bit with removing cookies and some of this stuff. But if I say a word and my wife says the same word, probably means different things sometimes.
Yeah, this is very true. This happens. Yep. Yep.
When I say 8 o'clock, I mean 8:30. She means eight.
That's funny. Same thing on mine, but exactly the opposite. I'm the guy that says 8 o'clock. I mean like 7:59. Let's go. She's kind of like 8:15, 8:20. That's fine. I'm like, oh, that's okay. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. So the prompting becomes hyper personalized even to the context, the individual that the system is interfacing with, the behind the scenes data set, and all of that ends up influencing the interpretation and reinterpretation of that prompt.
Yeah, it absolutely will. Mm-hmm. And that's why like the third party cookie stuff isn't going to be, you know, that's what's going away, right? Cookies are going to be around forever, but the third party cookies are the ones that are going away. But the first party cookies, the ones that you use when you sign into a membership site, and that's why you don't have to sign in every single page, like, because otherwise if you didn't have cookies, it wouldn't know that you were signed in.
Yes.
So that functionality will still be there. So when you sign into Gmail, it knows it's you. You know, when you signed into Google Maps on your phone, it knows it's you. And so all of that is the data right. That it's trying to collect. So it should be, for the most part, hyper relevant, regardless of what platform. Like I know Safari, I think Apple is actually making a deal with Google that Google's AI, Gemini, is going to power Apple too. So there's a whole other data set. Now, I doubt they're going to mix them, but maybe, you know, I doubt it just because Apple tends to be privacy centric, mm-hmm. You know, when it's convenient for them. But I think that, you know, this is one of those times where they're going to share the data set anonymously, of course, but it has to know that it's your iPhone or my iPhone or whoever's, right. You know, Android device it is. You're right, to make it relevant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, fundamentally, if you, in the large language model, the weightings in the neural net have training specifically on individuals, you'll never really understand what data caused those weightings. So you could share that model that knows mm-hmm. that, okay, when Mercer says 8 o'clock, he means 8 o'clock.
Right.
And you know, Apple could share that with Google and feel comfortable that, okay, well, you don't really know that much about the data that I've collected behind the scenes. You might even end up with like a GDPR adjustment to language that says you could share those weightings. If there was a question about it.
Yeah, some sort of like opt-in agreement, right? That says, hey, do you want this enhanced setting? Like you can have the generic thing, which is, okay, if I say be there 8 o'clock, it'll automatically set the appointment at 8 o'clock. Or I can have the enhanced personalization, right? That you probably opt into. And Google's doing a lot of this. So that's why I'm thinking maybe that's the model they all use. But if you say, okay, enhanced personalization, it goes, well, yeah, but it's Ari and Ari says 8 o'clock. He really means 8:30. So what I'm going to do is, do you, you know, maybe ask, hey, do you need to be there at 8 o'clock? In that case, I'm going to start the calendar at 7:30 for you to get the prep. So we're actually there at 8 o'clock, you know, and it starts trying to outthink you because it understands how to work with you like a regular human would.
Yeah.
You know, if you had an EA. So I could see stuff like that for sure coming through.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Microsoft Clarity is the next tool that I add to our, to our quiver.
Yeah, for sure. That one, that because it's the easiest, especially from a measurement perspective, because it is rich with usefulness. So it'll do things like, for example, and they've kind of been doing this from the beginning. They've been very story focused as a platform. So it literally has these things called rage clicks, right? Which is when somebody's clicking on a button and then clicking on it kind of successfully or unsuccessfully, but clicking on it over and over because they're trying to take some sort of action, but can't. Hence this behavior of rage. And so they call them rage clicks. Then there's like the typical broken link click. So it's like, okay, what are they clicking on that's going to a 404? It kind of shows you that, right? These broken links. And then of course you've got the heat maps, the scroll maps, the recordings, and they're always on, which is kind of nice. It's still GDPR compliant. So you don't have to necessarily worry about privacy compliance. You obviously still run it through whatever compliance you have set up in your organization to make sure it's good, but they're built with this in mind. And it's just put the code on the page, let it run for a few days, and then go look at the stories that are back there. And then your job would obviously to interpret those to take action. But the AI does help with that. And that's why I think it's a low barrier to entry to go from installing this thing and sort of activating it, minimal setup mm-hmm. to get useful actions, Whereas something like GA4, if you just put the code on the page, you've activated it, but you haven't set it up at all. And it needs a good couple of hours or at least an hour of going through and thinking through all these different settings and how do you stitch together the sessions and all the things that most people don't even know are a thing that they need to do back there before you can effectively use it to get effective actions. You know, Microsoft Clarity doesn't really have that hurdle. And then you can still trick it out. It can still do some pretty advanced things too, but I wouldn't even worry about those in the beginning. Just get it up and running, get used to it. You start to see how AI can interact with data that it understands, because that's kind of the beauty of it. That's why it works so well. They've constrained it and they didn't say, oh, it's an AI bot that can do anything around any data thing at all that anyone can throw at it. They say, no, this bot just does screen recordings. It knows what a screen recording is. It knows what it is not. It knows what it's trying to do and what it's not trying to do and who it's talking to. It's already been pre-trained for this little select data set. So that's why it's better at that little select data set, you know, which is pretty cool. So that's why I would absolutely recommend that one.
So now with measurementmarketing.io, do you set up GA or help people understand GA and then take it to the next level once you have those baseline metrics to a Microsoft Clarity or something? Connect. What do you do for people?
Yeah, good question. So we train the measurement strategy first, always, because I think a lot of individuals, they have these tools, but they just throw on the tools. But every tool was built for a specific purpose, right? From the creator of the tool. They think it's for this type of strategy. So here's the problem we're going to solve. And so here's your tool. Well, if you do that with a bunch of different tools, what you're really effectively buying is all these different strategies, but they tend to be conflicting. Hmm. They're not made to work together necessarily. And so what happens is you have all these different tools, all these little with no real strategy on how to use them or why, other than what the manufacturer or the vendor told you. And now that's why things become a cluster in most cases. So what we do is we sort of say, okay, let's forget about the tools for a second. Let's learn measurement as a strategy, how to think it through. How do we plan out our measurement, including what are we going to do with it when we get it done, which is a very simple thing to ask, but it's the thing that everybody skips. Hmm. They don't actually have a plan for the answers. They just want the answers. And then they get the answers and they go, okay, what do we do with that now? But that's too late. You should have already planned. Why would you ask the question if you had no plan of action for the answer, right? So just pro tip on the planning. So then it's, okay, how do we build? And that's where you do start to integrate some of these tools. But the trick is, in the beginning, we'll teach simplicity, because most organizations don't know simple stuff. They only know complexity. And that's where you kind of, you're doing a lot of work on something, but you're not actually making any movement. It's busy, 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 but not necessarily productive in the measurement space. If that's happening in your data teams, that's probably because it's too complex. And you've got to learn to sort of do minimal pieces and parts to really make sure you practice the strategy. So we talk about that. And then eventually, you know, now that we know how to plan things out and build things out in a simple way, then it's how do we use the actual measurement to get action, to actually lead naturally to optimizing the website so we can improve things as we go and improve things faster than we could otherwise do. That's using measurement at the helm. So that's kind of the idea. And then you go through that framework over and over and over again, what we call building measurement muscle. But the idea is at a certain point, you've now learned simplicity. And if you can do it simply, then you grow into the complexity of adding additional tools. Maybe you go from GA4 into now you're adding Tag Manager and Looker Studio type of thing. Maybe eventually BigQuery, because you're going to store first party data. Maybe eventually you go to server side tag management, have a measurement server. You certainly don't need those on day one, but eventually you might grow into that. So the idea is let's learn the simple stuff. In other words, if you're thinking about it like a gym, you go into the gym and you learn how to use the machines with a lightweight setting, because you want to learn how to use the machine properly and move your body properly and get the most that you can to build the muscle. Then you start adding weights to the machine. Now that you understand how to use the machinery, it's let's add weight to it so we can build more muscle. And that's sort of what that process is.
So you're the personal trainer for marketing machines.
Yeah, that's essentially it. It's funny you say it like that, because I used to joke. It was like, we're the diet and exercise of the measurement world, of the marketing world, right? It's like, no, everybody wants to be healthy, but the real answer is always diet and exercise. But everyone's like, yeah, I get that. What's the pill though? Right? And everyone's kind of like trying to go to that magic pill.
And measurement thing, also, if you want to be healthy, you have to measure too.
That's exactly right. We're diet and exercise. We're like it just takes a little effort. You need muscle for it. But everybody's like, yeah, I get that. But can I just buy a tool and then put the code on the page and then it'll tell me what? And I'm like, you can, but you're still gonna be back to diet and exercise eventually. Yeah. So I'm kind of the believer of like the faster you can learn this, the more you can practice that muscle, the better and further you'll be able to go for longer.
I love it. I think that's a wonderful metaphor. All right, that's perfect. Let's stop there. So marketingmeasurement.io is your personal trainer for more effective marketing.
Technically measurementmarketing.io, but I like
measurement marketing. Your personal trainer. Awesome. Love it. Okay, Mercer. Great chatting, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Ari.
Thanks.
Oh, this is phenomenal. And that really is just the perfect segue. So can you tell people, and we will include this in the show notes, but how they can best reach out if they want to hear about the services you mentioned, all of that.
Well, great question. So I'll give you two links. Obviously, measurementmarketing.io is our main site. Anybody can go there at any time. We've got if anybody wants to learn that framework we talked about, like the plan things out and build things out and then launch stuff and how to move from simplicity into the complex stuff. We've got a free course that we give to everybody. Just go to measurementmarketing.io/e-commerce AI. So measurementmarketing.io/e-commerce AI. It'll take you to that page. You can set up and get your free thing. The other is for those of you who are interested in Microsoft Clarity. We have the Academy that if the time is right for people, they can purchase that. But there is a YouTube. If you go to measurementmarketing.io/YouTube, we've recently created a playlist that just focuses on Clarity, because I think that's a tool that we decided was really needed a little bit more play and teaching in the marketplace, because it is really valuable. It's like the best kept secret right now in measurement. And it shouldn't be a secret. It should just be one of those, like, of course we use that in addition to GA4, in addition to whatever other people are using. So if you go to, again, measurementmarketing.io/YouTube, it'll take you to the YouTube channel. And then there'll be a playlist for Microsoft Clarity, so you can start to learn at least some of the basics of that tool.
Awesome. It's so many free resources that you're giving away.
That's the idea. Yep.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. thank you both. This is just a jam-packed half hour. And for those of you who tuned in, there will be even more conversations like this in the future. All right. So thanks, you guys.